You're listening to the Voice of the Valley, KROX in Crookston, Minnesota, 1260 AM and 105.7 FM, and 92.1 FM in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks. It is 20 minutes till 11 AM here on this Thursday, March 7th, as it is time for our Valley Talk program. Joining me today on Valley Talk is Morgan Torkelson. And Morgan, how are you doing today?
Great, Tyler. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, thanks for coming back on. Well, let's start off with there's a soil health farmer panel discussion that's coming up on the 12th here, so just in a couple of days, and you guys have already had two previous discussions that took place.
Yep, this is the third of our series of soil health panel discussions that we've been hosting this winter. The first two went great. The basic premise of those is we have a panel of local farmers that understand what soil health means in the valley here in the context of our crops and our climate. And these are guys that have been working on this stuff for a couple years. So although they're not experts with this, they have a couple things worked out with their few years of experience. And they're willing to stick their neck out there and hopefully answer some questions and get a discussion started with the attendees who are, you know, any interested farmer or landowner with questions and some experience of their own that are willing to show up, ask questions, and hopefully get some information out there for everybody else that's listening.
Yeah, so, and as you mentioned, the first two discussions, very successful.
Yeah, definitely. It's just a great opportunity to hear from folks, like I said, that have been working on this, find out what's been working for them, what hasn't been working, any outcomes, and especially observations they've seen, you know, little bits of information you pick up, those aha moments you see, you know, when you drive by the field, when you work in the field, just seeing how things work. All the stuff that people have been throwing at the wall, some sticks, some doesn't. So you got to pay attention to that stuff to kind of direct where you're going to go next.
And, you know, sometimes with these discussions, especially with, you know, the amount of experience that other farmers have, and as you mentioned, where if some things might stick, but it's also important to know what might not stick, because that can be just as valuable.
Definitely. Yep. I mean, a lot of this is uncharted territory up here. I mean, folks in more cooperative climates that have been working on cover crops for a while have those wider windows after the cash crops come off to experiment with things, to experiment with different seeding dates, different methods, different species, all that. And we're kind of shoehorned in up here where not everything is going to work. And if you're going to start throwing stuff at the wall where this hasn't really been done much up here, knowing what doesn't work is a great way to find those dead ends. And if you can convey that to somebody else with less experience, you can save somebody a lot of time and money and headache.
Yeah. And so are these the only learning opportunities?
Nope. Beyond the workshops, and this is something that's kind of been brought to me by attendees and panelists who've been at the workshops over the last 2 years, mentorship is something that is becoming more and more of a hot topic. At our February 20th workshop, we had Brian Ryberg up here, and he, I mentioned last time, was 2022's Strip Till Magazine Innovator of the Year because he's been working on this stuff. He's been doing full strip tillage now for about 10 years. So again, he's got a lot of stuff figured out. Part of that comes from his location. He's down in southern Minnesota, but a big chunk of that comes from his willingness to start, again, throwing those things at the wall, find out what works, and keep honing, you know, expanding on what does work. And he came up here to talk about his experiences, and a big thing he mentioned was that he's also a mentor. He's affiliated with the Minnesota Soil Health Coalition, and that is a great online resource, and part of that is putting farmers with questions about this stuff in touch with folks like him who serve as a mentor. He'll talk to you one-on-one on the phone, answer your questions, and help you troubleshoot what you're working on and give you tips on what might work best next. And along with that, I've been approached by some farmers in our area that, you know, maybe with not the experience that Brian has, they have a lot figured out up here, and maybe not everything, because, you know, farmers are very humble, I found, and they're always the first to tell you, I might not be the best person to talk about this, you know, I'm not an expert, but, you know, these guys do have a lot figured out, and if you want to call our office, they have given me permission to put you in contact with them if you have questions to talk to them about. So that's a great opportunity for one-on-one talk with somebody with the stuff down.
How important is it to have that one-on-one learning on top of these discussions where you're in a big panel?
It's huge. I mean, they both have their benefits. When you're in a panel, that type of discussion with attendees there that have questions, and a lot of them have ideas too, you can get a lot of ideas on the floor. and talked about and, you know, get a lot of eyes on your problem and some feedback. But the one-on-one conversation is, it's a different dynamic. I mean, you can get answered a lot more focused questions, but something that I've talked about with some farmers around here is just the mental aspect of it, knowing that you're not alone, because, you know, looking around, there's still a lot of brown cropland around here. This isn't 100% adopted yet. So it can get kind of discouraging. You know, you look around and you know people are looking at your field and wondering what you're doing. And something that's, you know, one guy in particular told me is, it just helps to have a cheerleader, somebody that's at your back and willing to, you know, kind of stand behind you and encourage you to stay on that right track. And at the same time, sometimes it's just commiseration. I mean, knowing that someone else has been in that pit before and watched a dead end come, and then not much you can do to get out of the way of it, but you just got to learn what you can from that again and pick up the pieces and take what you learned onto the next season.
Yeah, so a really great idea there for the mentorship. And if there anybody has any questions, how can they either get involved in the mentorship or maybe ask for a mentor?
Yeah, it goes both ways. Thanks for reminding me that. If you want to find a mentor in our area, whether it's with different tillage methods, cover crops, whatever, our phone number is 218-281-6070. And if you feel like you're in a position where you can answer some questions from somebody, call the same number. And you know, I'm willing to start a mentorship network here right in West Polk County to get some more of this information that's been locally worked on, you know, put out there for guys that are in that same situation.
Yeah, so a great way to network with other farmers and connect, and most importantly, share those great ideas that have both worked or not worked.
Right, and if you have an idea, you know, you think you have a plan for what you want to try with a cover crop in the coming seasons, or if you just want to throw some stuff of your own at the wall and see what sticks, that's another way West Polk SWCD can help. We have a cover crop incentive program where if you want to start experimenting with species selection, the method and timing for cover crop seeding, or the method and timing of termination, or you just want to see the effects on your own ground, you can call our office. We can cost share up to a 80-acre field. We can do $20 per acre for one species, or if you want to try multi-species mix, you can receive $40 per acre. It's not a huge amount, but sometimes it's enough to offset the anxiety, you know, looking at a winter like this, wondering what that cover crop's going to end up doing in spring. If that sun hits nice warm black soil this time of year, who knows when it gets up to that critical temperature, 35, 37 degrees, where your rye seed is going to start waking up. And without knowing, you know, no one has a crystal ball, no one knows when rain is going to come or not. If it's rainy, you can't get in the field to terminate, and that rye is getting bigger and bigger. A little bit of cash in the pocket can help ease some of that anxiety and, you know, offset seeding costs and the price of the seed itself.
Yeah, and then not just, you know, rain, but also snow, because that's, you know, that can be normal here where we get that late snow here in late March or early April, maybe even mid-April too.
Right, and that ties into the second most common question I get asked about our tree program. The first this time of year is it too late to order trees? And the second is, when do the trees come in? And that question has been really hard to answer this year. I usually tell people I plan on timing the delivery with snow melt, rainfall, field conditions. And I don't know what that means this year. That might be 2 weeks. That might be months from now. You know, we could get a Memorial Day blizzard, or it could be like in 2021 where it was 104 degrees a couple days after Memorial Day. So we're not really sure what to expect yet, but I'm going to do my best to get the trees here at the right time so people can get them in the ground when they have the best chance of taking advantage of some of that remaining soil moisture and just leaving you good position to not have to put so much time and maintenance into them watering early on in the year.
And it's all about trying to find that sweet spot as to when to plant it at the right time. But as you just mentioned, with the way how this winter has played out, now transitioning into spring, really all options are on the table.
Right. It's going to be a kind of a big crapshoot this year. It's easier to get your finger on the pulse when you have 5, 6, 8 foot drifts everywhere, and you just have to kind of go out there with a yardstick every day and get an idea how things are progressing. Whereas this year, fields are warming up right now. I don't know how much frost is out there yet, but it's going to be a difficult game to play, you know, moving forwards into May this year.
Yeah, and it not just has an effect on the farmers, but as we were talking with the tree planting too, so it's going to be very interesting to see how this spring shapes up for both sides.
Right, yeah. With trees, you know, planting is one thing. You know, people can get out with their hand plant trees and get them in the ground as soon as the frost is out of the soil. Even if it's a little bit muddy, that's fine. The trees will wake up once that soil comes up to temperature and you're in a good place. So early is good there. Whereas planting my machine plantings, where we're going to be planting trees into worked soil, that all depends on how much soil moisture is there, when that farmer or landowner is able to get out and work the soil. And that's usually going to be a couple of weeks after, at least, folks could get out there and do their hand plants. So I try to split the uprights there and get the trees sometime where it's not too late after the optimal hand planting time, but it's not so early that the trees are waiting in the cooler before guys can get in, work their field, and get ready for machine planting. So again, it's going to be some guesswork this year, but I'm doing my best.
Is there a way that people at home can determine like when the sweet spot is, or is that kind of up to, you know, the experts, if you will?
You don't want to stray too far from growing degree days, I guess. You know, I'm not the best person to ask about that because I kind of play it by ear, but trees will know when it's best to come out of dormancy. It's kind of a rule of thumb, but, you know, earlier is better. The trees we get are dormant when we get them, and if they go in when it's too cold, if you can dig a hole in the soil and there's not frost, it's fine. They're going to stay dormant right there, too. What the problems that arise, though, is if they go in later and you get them in, water them, so the roots are happy, but it's hot and dry and windy and sunny, and those buds start to, they don't really get the cues to come out of dormancy. They think it's summer, they kind of panic, the hormones aren't right, and it can take a couple extra steps to get trees beyond that stumbling block. So it's hard to put a rule on this and predict the future, but we're going to do our best to get trees in at the right time. And you know, as the weeks go on, I'll have more information, more of an idea how things are progressing. And if you've got questions about that or any other tree questions, you know, feel free to call our office.
Yeah. And, you know, what kind of questions do you typically get, especially for the tree planting side of things?
So again, beyond, are the trees still available? The next question usually is species selection. So if someone needs to know if they have a tree planting project coming up, the best place to start is just what's going to grow on your land. You know, we have really diverse soil in our district here. Some of it is just pure beach sand. Some of it is really heavy gumbo clay, different pHs, different depths to the water table. There's a lot going on. Some species are going to work better, some places better than others. I do my best to get trees on our availability list, you know, our tree order form, that are going to run the gamut, you know, that'll have you covered pretty much anywhere. But there's always the best tree for the best area, or, you know, best group of trees. So that's the best thing to do. The next is, what's your objective? You know, do you want a field windbreak to protect your crops? Do you need a farmstead windbreak to keep snow out of your driveway? How about just a dedicated snow fence, you know, protect that one critical area? Is wildlife habitat a concern? Do you want to add wildlife habitat to any of the above projects, or just plant a purely wildlife habitat-centered tree planting? We can help with that. If you're interested in fruit production, choke cherries, service berries, all kinds of cherries we sell, you know, that's another thing to take into consideration. And kind of along with that are aesthetics, because I know the trees that are most valuable to the people that are planting them, if they're pretty, if they produce fruit, if it's something that you hold dear, those are the ones that are going to get taken care of and have the best chance of establishment. So those are all the questions. That in combination with what can you grow really helps narrow the list down and get people thinking along the lines of what would be best for to achieve their goals. Next, I would say we have remote imaging tools where I can look at aerial imagery, take measurements, and if you need to plan a windbreak, you don't need to guess or take the tape measure out there. I can just measure that and give you the best idea of how many trees exactly you need to order, so you don't end up with a whole bunch extra or have to look forward to planting the rest of that windbreak the next year. So that takes a lot of guesswork out of it. And if the project is too big, if you want to save your time planting trees so you can put that time into maintaining them, or just not have to mess with putting hundreds of trees into the ground in spring and shoveling those holes, you can hire us to plant the trees for you. So that is a step further beyond all the others I mentioned, the species selection, finding out the number of trees you need. We can come up with a more detailed plan. And as long as you have the ground worked in time to plant in spring and you have a tractor and a driver available, I'll bring the planter and the trees on planting day when the time is right to get them in the ground, and we can take care of the rest. And it's not a very expensive process. Folks are always amazed at how cheap it is to get the whole project in the ground.
There's a lot of thought that goes into this process. It's a lot more than just putting a tree in the ground. There's a lot of thought and a lot of background information that you need to begin this process, and then once you actually start the process as well.
Yep, definitely. I mean, it's not an absolute necessity, but the more planning you put into it, the more you take into consideration to figure out your exact goals, your exact site, what species you want. All that's going to do is save you time in the long run. You know, you kind of just throw a dart at the board. You might have a couple rows, a couple species you need to replant a couple times, find something else. And that could take years before you find out that it's time to pull the plug on that one row and try something else. And the closer we can get to finding the right species right away is just much saved time, and you get your trees growing quicker and working for you quicker.
Yeah, really, really interesting process. And again, you guys are able to do that as well for folks out there if they want you guys to plant the trees for them.
Yeah, so we can, even if you don't want us to plant the trees, I can help you figure out, you know, just call our office. I'm more than willing to take a few minutes to look into your site conditions, come up with the best species, and just help take as much guesswork out of it as possible for you. So, you know, planting, machine planting or not, hiring us or not, you can call our office and I'll do my best to answer any questions you have about an upcoming project or troubleshooting trees that you already have in the ground. Sometimes site conditions don't work out and you know that the trees aren't working well there. You know you need to plant something else, but knowing what to plant next and not, you know, hopefully not running down that same dead end again, that can be as simple as just making a phone call. And sometimes, you know, a site visit is in order too. You know, there's only so much we can do using those remote tools to get an idea of your topography, your soil type, all that sort of stuff. But I'm a firm believer that the best communication happens when your boots are dirty. A lot of the time you get out in the field, you get an idea of exactly how that land lays, and it's more fun for me this time of year. I mean, I've been stuck in the office for about 15 months straight now, it seems like, you know, with our winters up here. So I'm more than happy to get out into the field and do what I can to, you know, put some planning into your next tree planting project or help you diagnose disease problems or any other tree issues you're having currently.
What's the number one growing tip?
Number one growing tip. You know, there's a lot of things people can do to get their trees off on the right foot. Timely watering, that's a big one. You know, the trees just need water when they're first planted. They're not seeds, you know, they're not finding the water table right away, right off the bat, so you have to get them just living through the first season. The next, though, is mulch. A layer of wood chips, you know, a couple of feet in diameter, 2 to 4 inches deep is going to save you a lot of time watering, a lot of time controlling weeds. It's going to regulate soil temperature, which is hugely important for spruce trees this time of year. A lot of those species like that aren't exactly adapted to our climate here. They check enough boxes where they'll deal with our cold winters and our heavy soil, the high pH, but they have shallow roots and that just is not compatible with a prairie. But wood chips are a big plus. You know, they will keep those roots that are close to the surface of the soil, keep the temperature regulated so they're not waking up on days like this when the sun's hitting that warm soil and kind of cueing the trees to come out of dormancy and wasting their energy on above ground growth. It's kind of like a refrigerated cooler where it regulates the temperature, and once things are finally warm enough, those trees will wake up. And conversely, they don't necessarily like the frigid cold too we get in winter. You know, when it gets down to 30 below, that can do damage on the roots too. So insulation is a huge part of growing some finicky species like spruce trees around here. And if you're looking for wood chips, I mean, you can always buy the bags they sell at hardware stores. Sometimes you can buy them from a landscape company. But one fun trick here is to call a tree care company, local tree care companies. You know, they have to do something with all the trees they remove, the branches they prune, and it's expensive for them to drive the chips to the dump and then pay to have them disposed of. So a lot of times they might be looking for places closer by and more convenient at the end of the day when they're exhausted and just want to get home. If you talk to, you know, for example, Derek Goodwagen, GT Tree Service and Lawn Care, there's a plug, Crookston, Minnesota. I talked to him a couple of weeks ago, and he's willing to do this. If you want to give him a call at 218- 289 2534. He said he's willing to look into this, and if it works out, if you have a place where you need some wood chips and it works out where he has wood chips and he's trying to get rid of them, there you go. Just put those around your trees. If you need help figuring out exactly how to do that, there's resources online, or again, you can call our office at 218-281-6070, and I'll walk you through probably the most beneficial tree establishment technique there is.
Well, Morgan, very informational once again. A lot of ground that we covered today, and I look forward to our future chat here coming up next on our Valley Talk program, and who knows what it's going to be like in a couple of weeks.
Right. I'm trying not to put too much thought into that. I'm just kind of living 1 week at a time right now. We'll deal with it when it comes and do our best.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us on today's Valley Talk program.
Sure. Thanks, Tyler.
So that was Morgan Torkelson joining us on today's Valley Talk program, as it is time.